Quincy City Council President Ian Kane is here joining us for an update on the December 2nd council meeting. Hi, Ian. How are you?
Hi, Joe. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Great. Thanks for checking in after a whirlwind of activities in Quincy to kick off the holidays.
It was a. I said something last night about this. It was an unbelievable weekend in Quincy. It was so great to see so many thousands of people just take over the downtown area from the Christmas tree lighting to the Kilroy Square Winter Market, which is run by the Chamber of Commerce. That has been going really well. The Santa drop up at Pageant Field, and then the parade. It, is always just such a nice indicator to me, I guess, over the years when you would start the parade, the downtown would be desolate, and it's packed again. The whole, I mean, the parade had so many people. It reminded me of when I was young, when I remembered the parade being so busy. So what a wonderful weekend.
Yeah, we were happy to bring a lot of those events to our viewers here, and they can see them on our channel and on our social media all holiday long.
Yeah, how was the you had you must have had fun up commentating.
I did indeed. Yeah, it's always a good time with Christine Cheever. And it was great to see the Clydesdales back actually this year.
Yeah, they're beautiful. Oh my God, they're beautiful.
They do make a statement, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, congratulations going out to the combined Quincy North Quincy marching band, taking first place overall in the band competition.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So busy meeting last night, I know, at the council, right?
Yeah, we had a couple things going on. We started off the meeting with a presentation from the chairman of the Board of Assessors, John Rowland, who gave us an update on the tax classification that we were voting on last night. And so this is something that we do every year. And you know what? It's very, we need to put out like tutorials or something, because this is something that for this is my ninth tax classification that I'm going through. And it seems that every year it just it wipes from people's memories on how this works. And so, what we do is make sure that the residential taxpayers are paying less than the commercial and personal property tax holders within the city. And so we vote on splitting the difference between what's called the minimum residential factor. And so we're presented with a range of options with which we can decide how to accept that tax classification, whether it's one to one being, the residents and the commercial and the industrial and the personal property pay the same, 125 to 0.96, 1.5 to 0.92, and then what we voted on last night, which is 1.75 to 0.88. So, this is, I guess, since I want to have the details, I guess, since 1984, Quincy has adopted the split tax rate. This is something that we always do historically to minimize the annual tax burden on residents. So the presentation was interesting because you get to find out about what's going on in the market. And Quincy is continues to be a desirable place to live, which contributes to the values of the homes, because there are a high volume of sales that take place. So right now we've seen a single family home, the median assessed value from fiscal year 2024 to 2025 is a 2.26 increase. So it went from 616,200 to $630,100 in 2025. You've seen, by neighborhood, the sales prices go up. Squanum being the highest rent district at 810,000. That is the median sale price within that neighborhood, and it sort of crescendos up and down from there. Quincy Center being the next highest at 790, but the citywide median sales price of a single family home for the calendar year of 2023 is $680,000. And there are a lot of market factors that contribute to it in stock. So we talked about stock. We talked about inventory last night, because no one's building single family homes. This is the most desirable piece of property that people want to own. This is the concept of the American dream that people are still buying into, and it is not available, and I think trying to reconcile the growth that we see through the large apartment complexes, and then sometimes in the middle, I think we see, more of the larger ones that are having at least on a scale impact, and it's not ownership, it's renter, but it's still availing more units. You also have people like to participate in real estate market as a income source, investment properties, and some people run them as small businesses. There are many two, three multifamily properties that individuals and families own to run as businesses. And so, we hosted a public hearing last night, and we certainly wanted to keep focused on what we were discussing. I think, there are many folks who are looking for an avenue to convey messages of all different types. But, what we were talking about last night was specifically the minimum residential factor, and the vote that we'd be taking on that was the public hearing was about. But what I think people, are trying to grasp with are the dynamics of the general economy, right? You've had high sales volume, which drives the prices up. You've had inflation printing money year over year, which has caused, inflation. And then you have limited inventory. So you have high demand that's not being met by, there's supply constraints there. So, there are a whole slate of factors that fit into the circumstance we're in, but the indicators point to Quincy's economy is strong. People still want to live here. And even coupled with what you see last weekend, people coming here, these are the things that drive people to the city. And, in an economic sense, they spend more money. So, and that's the point of this economic growth, is to get more people to circulate money within this economy. So, it was a good presentation from John. Went into the public hearing, got some feedback, and then we had a presentation from Eric Mason. And so, in trying to do the tax classification and the finances of the city, you have the Board of Assessors, which do the tax rate, but they, of course, do the assessments to understand the values of the homes. And then you have from the finance side, Eric Mason, who manages the budget and all the sort of city finances, the debt financing, et cetera. And so those two come together, and that's where we get, our tax rate and our classification. So, from Eric's side, you've seen the median home tax increase at $320.40. And so that increases from just under 7,000 to just over 7,000 at $72.64.98. The tax rates for this year, which we set and we'll go into the agenda soon, the residential rate will be $11.53 per $1,000, and the commercial rate will be $23.01 per $1,000 in value. So, as we already had discussed, the median home value grew by 2.26. The commercial, industrial, and personal properties grew by about 6.12%. And non-single family residential properties grew by 5.72%. So I don't know. There's so much data being thrown at you, but it is, last night works to make sure that we are implementing the lowest possible tax rate for the upcoming fiscal year. And so, following a number of financial orders that were presented to us, we reduced the taxes by about $183.25. And that was that.
By using the 2 million in free cash, is that right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Using the free cash. Yep. Using the free cash. That's correct.
Okay. I know there was some discussion about, and I remember a while back, former Councillor Palmucci had raised the issue of perhaps changing the way some of the larger residential, quote unquote, residential apartment complexes are taxed rather than residential, to changing it to a commercial base. Has that been discussed at all again?
No, it hasn't. And even when that did come up, I thought that that concept was nice in theory, but I also thought it was a little disingenuous to sort of lead people down that road. So, yes, the theory is correct. So, large apartment complexes, which are businesses, the theory is that you tax them at a commercial rate as opposed to the residential rate. These rules are designed by the state. So, we would have to go through some process, and I'm not certain if it would require unanimous, sort of, I guess, consent of the legislature that would abide by the state, or if it just would govern the city. But I asked a couple questions last night because I need more data, because my hunch is that most of the multifamily properties, and that's two, three plus, right? Two, three families, multifamily units above that, are also run as businesses. Like, those are probably owned, not owner occupied, owned by individuals, families, LLCs. Like, however, it's sort of managed under a domicile, but that would affect those people too. And I'm going to venture to bet that there are more of those people than there are of the large apartment complexes. And it would end up having some sort of backfire effect with people who actively manage real estate portfolios for supplemental and investment income. So I asked John Rowland from the Board of Assessors for some data around that, because that's my hunch. And even yeah, I mean, that's again, that's my hunch on that one. So I would like to see more data. But I think otherwise, there are 20 plus exemptions that are on the books right now that are in the Knowing Your Taxes pamphlet that we distributed last night. It's available on the city's website today. I'll put it out through my newsletter that outlines the characteristics of those individual exemptions for people.
Okay. Yeah, there's a way, to do abatements if necessary. And there's a work program I know for seniors to work off some of their taxes. So the things people should look into at least.
Yes.
Very good. So was that a unanimous vote, Ian?
Yeah, so let I mean we can go down. That was a unanimous vote. So we started with with an appropriation to community preservation. Transferred to the community preservation revenues that passed. There was an appropriation for 4.2 million that was for retirements and pensions in order to reduce that line item. There's a $2 million appropriation that we just discussed to reduce from free cash to reduce the tax rate that passed. There's an appropriation for about $1.7 million to various accounts to cover prior year encumbrances in various accounts. Then we adopted the residential factor. So that passed unanimously
Okay.
for fiscal year 2025. The next measure, we adopted the percentages of local tax by class for real and personal property for fiscal year 25. There were two acquisitions made. The city acquired a parcel. I think it was a former firehouse site on C Street at 1072 C Street. That was acquired. And in Ward 3, we acquired the now closing Wollaston Congregational Church. So, 150-year-old church that has been up on the hill, main fixture, also a community space that Wollaston Garden Club, Troop 42, Alcoholics Anonymous, Melodrama Productions. There was a daycare facility up there. The neighborhood was very much interested in saving this property, and so we did. And this is a discussion that began back in 2023 with a resident named Deborah Barrett, and we have shepherded it along, and that finally came through. So, there were representatives from the church and from Wollaston Garden Club there last night, which was great. I know that they were very pleased with the outcome of that decision.
Yeah, I spoke with the mayor about that this morning, actually, and good. Important to point out, it's no longer be a church. We need separation of church and state. So,
No, the city is not going to manage a church.
right.
The church, has its own issues, and I think, we'll retire, and the city will maintain it as a community space.
Right. And I know Mr. Walker pointed out where those funds come from. Is an account specifically designated to land purchase only, right?
Yes,
Yeah.
yes. So it didn't come out the general fund. There was a specific fund dedicated to things exactly like this that went forward.
Yeah, important to point out, I think, also. So with the tax discussion, Ian, I mean, do you feel that that folks are getting value for their dollar? Do you think it's an appropriate process the way the tax classification is done?
I'm glad you asked that question because I wrote last night when people were talking, I said it's subjective how people feel about this. No, you're not going to get everybody in agreement on this ever, ever. And it's a very difficult thing to even try. And that's with all issues. I think it just depends on where you are in life or what city services you enjoy. So, you didn't see many people with young families in that room last night, they're enjoying the schools. They're enjoying the benefit. They're enjoying the. Somebody was talking about the recreation department. The recreation department adds generational value, whether it's through allowing young people to have access to different parts of the community, make friends, athletics, sports, friendship, whatever. And then also, you have other young people older than them who it's some of their first jobs. It trains them in responsibility, right? And in trying to, be good community citizens to their fellow young people and to work collaboratively. So, there are so many different wonderful aspects of what this city provides that I think, unfortunately, we're not an a la carte. There's no a la carte method to consuming city services. But that's why I say it's subjective. It just depends on how you look at things. And you can look at things different ways. You can look at things and say, you can look at things negatively and then you'd hate everything, or you could look at things positively and make the best of it also. But again, there are all these extraneous circumstances that play into this tax rate that I think muddy the waters in some certain circumstances, especially around the economy, and especially around what we talked about at the beginning with the stock and the inventory of homes, and I think that if you were to, take a look at people's home values where they've lived for 20 to 60 whatever years, their home values are wild. You know what I mean? I whatever a person used to be able to afford for a home, which everything is relative. You don't know what the dollar was worth then, or if if the wages met. I think at a certain point in time, you could have a quote unquote regular job and be able to afford a single family home, and that you can't even have a super regular job now that pays you six plus figures, and afford a home. So we're in an interesting period, but I stand by the city. I wouldn't it, if there were things that didn't truly make sense or add up. But what I see is that a city, despite what is going on in places like Boston and other cities where their budgets are busting or they're doing Prop 2.5 overrides, I see a city that has maintained and grown. And people continue to find interest and enthusiasm in Quincy, and that's a great thing.
Interesting you brought up Boston, because I know the issue of the residential tax exemption came up again last night, and we're seeing now in Boston, they're struggling with that.
They are, yeah, and I think that comparatively the business base in Boston is much broader than it is in Quincy, and I think that the city of Boston was riding high for many years because of the influx of pharma and different types of businesses. COVID changed everything. People aren't working out of offices anymore. The work environment is not the same, and so. It's unfortunate what they're going through. And I think that the discussion in the city that I at least read through the newspapers has largely been around, not managing finances appropriately or expenditures appropriately. But again, that's their business. I just know that whatever we're doing here, we're doing it. We're doing a good job.
Yeah. Would you support some kind of a residential exemption in Quincy at some point?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with a residential exemption. It's just how do you get there? Because you'd have to structurally cut out parts of the budget. So, in the biggest three portions of the budget, teacher, fire, and police, you're going to be very hard pressed to start slashing parts of that.
Right. Yeah, that's been the roadblock that has been discussed along with that
Well,
discussion.
roadblock, but that's also value. So it
Yeah.
just depends on how you look at it, you know? So people, I think on the most part, people want public safety and in good schools.
We should not forget to mention Uncle Sam was at the council meeting last
Yes,
night.
thank you for reminding me. Yes, Counselor Richard Ash honored Uncle Sam Roundsville last night, who celebrated recently his 85th birthday. It was very nice. I mean, Uncle Sam, I said this last night. I said, I don't remember Uncle Sam not being around. You know, he is truly a fixture in Quincy, whether it's at the parades or at community events. And he and his wife are just great community leaders. They put their heart, soul, and pocket, you know, where their mouth is. And they really work to make this place good. And it's the character, it's the things that make Quincy great, like people like them. You know, that's what makes Quincy so unique and special. And so, you know, I always just hope that there are people that are following in their footsteps, you know, that will continue to take the reins of leadership and community that we have enjoyed for generations here. But it was really nice to see them and have them in. Richard gave a nice tribute to Uncle Sam.
Very good. One more meeting this year, right?
Yes, on the 16th is our last meeting. We have a ordinance committee meeting at 7 p.m. on the 9th, next Monday. And we have two public hearings that are before that. One is at 6:30 regarding an ordinance around sex offenders. The second is a public hearing at 6:35 regarding the Quarry Hills lease. Then we go into the ordinance committee meeting at 7. And then Monday, December 16th, is our final city council meeting of the year.
Very good. All right.
And I just
Appreciate your
went
time.
totally light here in the sun.
I see. Yes, the light is shining on you.
Thanks, Joe. Great to see you. Have a good week.
Thank you. You too.
All
Bye-bye.
right.